Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.
Time to receive the word of God, and I want you to just ask the Lord to touch you through his word today. That if there's anything he needs to kick out of your life, you want to pray that his word will provide the wisdom, the strength, the might that is needed for a great change and transformation. We bless you, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands. Speak to God. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Tell him that I want you to touch me. And I want you to do something great in my life today through your word. In the name of Jesus.
Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself. Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself.
Yes, Lord, manifest yourself.
Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself.
Make that your prayer.
Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself.
One more time, make that your prayer.
Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Touch us this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Say a louder, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. All right. Let's get straight into the word of God. I'll be preaching for a very short time. And this morning I want to share with you a sermon with the title, The Miraculous Touch of Jesus. Everybody say with me, The Miraculous Touch of Jesus. Say it again, The Miraculous Touch of Jesus. And kindly turn with me to the Gospel according to Saint Matthew. Chapter 8 and reading from verse number 1, and we're reading from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse number 1. Now when he, that is Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And this was Jesus' response. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Now, when we talk about the miraculous touch of Jesus, we are talking about the supernatural intervention of Jesus that brings about a change which human power cannot accomplish. Would you want me to say it again? The miraculous touch of Jesus is referring to his supernatural intervention that brings about a change which human power cannot accomplish. Hallelujah. The miraculous touch of Jesus is when Jesus steps into a situation and does what only he can do. That is what we mean by the miraculous touch of Jesus. And this morning, I pray for you that whatever situation that has defied human solution, may you experience the miraculous touch of Jesus. Whatever you are battling with in your life currently, where nothing you do is changing things for you. And not just that, nobody else seems to be able to help you. I pray that may Jesus himself step into that situation and bring a turn around. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
You see, my dear friends, there are moments in our lives when we need more than advice. Is it true? Yeah. Because often in life, when you're going through a situation, a difficulty, a crisis, people have a way of showing up to advise you. Sometimes when they come, they tell you that, be strong. And they'll tell you that things are going to get better. They'll encourage you, give you a motivational speech, and say all those things. But the truth is that what you're dealing with is a situation where you just don't need people to tell you it will be well. I mean, it's good to be encouraged, but you're the one going through the situation, going through the challenge and the problem. What you wish you can actually have is a practical solution to whatever problem you are encountering. Can anybody relate with what I'm talking about? Now, let me give you an illustration. So, is there anybody here? And don't be shy, because God may actually be making a way for you. So, is there anybody here who is concerned about what's going to happen this week in terms of food, transportation, and the truth is that you are very broke? Now, do you know that there's broke and there's broke? So, I'm not talking about the dignified one. I mean, you are broke and broke, broke. And Okwarini dear say, Ewawa, Ezi Eka. Is there anybody like that here? Don't be shy. Look. Oh, I mind you at all. Don't bring it. Auntie Agi. Sometimes people are broken, we don't know. These people who raise their hands, they are not there. I don't believe them. I mean, you are broke, broke, broke. You are sure? Come to me, the lady in red. Come. Clap your hands for my preaching assistant. She's a TA for today's service. What is your name? Jigbody, Jigbody. Mommy says Jigbody is not broke. Jigbody, are you sure you are broke? You are broke. Wow. So Jigbody, as you are broke and you are concerned about things, if I come to you and I tell you that, Jigbody, it will be well, everything will be better, God will take care of you, does it really help you? In a way, it does. But what if I dip my hands in my pocket and then I put this in your hand? Which one feels better for you? The second one. It's well, my dear. Go back to your seats. Put your hands together for Jigbody. You don't know why she's crying. Okay? Look, sometimes when you see people, they look like everything is all right with them. They look as if everything is in order. Things are working well. You see, you may even be deceived by how they've dressed and their appearance and everything. You can easily be deceived. But there are times when people are going through situations and all the motivational speech does not help, because they want a practical solution to the problem. But here's the thing, my friends. You see, those who give you advice and encourage you, they actually mean well. And there are some of them, if they had a way of helping you, they would have helped you. But the truth is that they can't really help you. And there are certain problems, certain difficulties, certain challenges, certain crises, certain impossible situations of this life that nothing that you do seems to make a difference. And nobody is able to help you. And the truth is that there are problems that human hands cannot solve. Period. There are some wounds that medicine cannot heal. There are some burdens that money cannot remove. Otherwise, rich people should not have any problems in this life. Some of the people with the most problems in life are the rich. There are some situations that education cannot change. You may have all the degrees. You may have gone very far in your education, but you can meet a situation that the education that you have cannot change it. And there are some battles that even your closest friends cannot really fight for you. And if you ever find yourself in such a situation in this life, I want to submit to you that the only thing that can turn things around for you is the miraculous touch of Jesus. Somebody say again with me, the miraculous touch of Jesus. Say it again, the miraculous touch of Jesus. I read a very short but a beautiful passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus had finished preaching a series of sermons, starting with what we call the Beatitudes. He had gone up the mount, he sat down, and the multitudes came to him. And he shared all these powerful biblical truths that have helped and guided us greatly in our Christian life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that test and mourn and all of those other things. He talked about ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find. He talked about do not lay up treasures for yourself here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and so on and so forth. Now, when he was done, he came down from the mountain and the multitudes continued to follow him. And then suddenly somebody appeared who was not supposed to be there. Why do I say that? His problem and his situation did not permit him or was not supposed to make him mix up with everybody else. Why? Because he was a leper. He had leprosy. And leprosy in those days, I mean, I don't really know what the situation is today with it. But in those days, there was no cure for it. Is there a cure for leprosy today? Is there? I'm not too sure. Because there are still lepers. But you can imagine in those days how it was like. He was a leper. And when you are a leper, you are an outcast. You cannot move around easily and freely like everybody else, because leprosy is a highly contagious disease. So this guy was an outcast. He was physically sick, yes, but his problem was more than physical sickness, because his disease had affected his relationships, had separated him from the society, had resulted in him living a life that was not very dignified. And I'll explain further as we move along. But one day he heard that Jesus was passing by. And obviously he must have heard about the great miracles that Jesus was performing. So he made a decision that I'm coming to look for this Jesus. And I'm going to appeal to him to do something about this situation for me. And he probably told himself that if I can only get to this Jesus, something is going to change in my life. And ladies and gentlemen, he acted on this thought and this decision. And he actually went looking for Jesus. And that day, he received a miraculous touch from Jesus, which turned that impossible situation around. Can I have an amen from somebody? There are a few things I want us to learn from this leper. The first thing is that sometimes life can actually leave you feeling untouchable. I'll explain. Sometimes life can leave you feeling untouchable. And what I mean by this statement is that something that you are going through has isolated you, and nobody wants to have anything to do with you. Nobody wants to come close to you. Nobody wants to relate with you. So you are untouchable in that sense. And sometimes life has a way of leaving a person in that situation. So take this leper. I just explained moments to you what kind of life it was. Look, if you had leprosy in those days, you are banished out of the society. You have to leave your home, leave your family, and you have to go and live in a place called the leper's colony. And it's a special place that is at the outskirts of the town, reserved for those who had leprosy. You cannot move around freely. It's an undignified life. If for any reason you had to come close to where people are, You need to shout at the top of your voice, make way, make way. I am unclean. Make way. I am unclean. And if your family has to bring provisions and stuff to you, they cannot enter the camp for fear of getting infected also. So they'll stand far and shout your name. Then you have to come and collect whatever they have for you. So every conversation that you hold is at a distance. So can you imagine you are in such a situation and your wife comes to look for you, bringing you some food and everything. You stand there and everybody will hear what you are saying. Adwa! Mohote say, then she would also shout, Nyamia dum boko! Enkolaane! Ah, Nyamia dum yekurem! If you to say, and kukona mi jaye no, omu to say, that's not dignity. There are some conversations that you don't want to have to the hearing of everybody. That's the kind of life that this guy led. And I'm saying that it was not just a sickness. It was a problem that meant that he had to separate himself from the community. He could not freely associate with people. He could not simply, he couldn't go to church. He couldn't go to the temple like everybody else. And for a typical Jew, that's a terrible thing. I can't go to the temple when everybody else is gathering. He could not live a normal family life. You have a wife, you have children, but you cannot relate with them because you have a problem. And he was ceremonially unclean. And everything about him said, stay away. Don't come close. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is isolation. That was the kind of life that he lived. An isolated life. I don't know who I am talking to today, but perhaps something that you are going through has caused you to be isolated. I mean, you may look normal. You may look like everything is okay. But the truth is that you are isolated. Isolated because you've been rejected. Your husband has rejected you. Your wife has rejected you. Your family has rejected you. Parents have rejected you. You've been abandoned by your close friends. Maybe you made a mistake in the past, and because of that, you've been rejected. You've been isolated. Maybe you've been labeled because of certain situations that you went through in life. That's what we do to people when they are going through a difficulty, when they are going through a crisis, when they are going through a problem. And you discover it, if you haven't yet realized it, that when everything is okay with you, you have a crowd around you. When things are not going a certain way, people do not want to associate with you. And if there's a problem, there's a stigma, there's a situation connected to you, you find out that even people who are like family and friends do not want to have anything to do with you again. And it leaves you with a feeling of isolation. But I want to say to you today, if you are in such a place in life, that your condition may have changed how people see you. But when it comes to Jesus, nothing has changed. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the battles that you are fighting. He knows the mess that you find yourself in. He knows the crisis that you are wrestling with. He knows the mistakes that you have made. He knows how much you have messed up. But it hasn't changed how he sees you. His love for you
is unchangeable. It is unconditional. That is what agape love is. It is the love that says, I love you in spite of. It's the love that says, I still care about you even though you have messed up. And I want you to understand that where everybody else has abandoned you, this Jesus that I'm talking to you about, whom I'm recommending to you this morning, he never changes where you are concerned. His love for you, his care for you, his good wishes for you are very much intact. And there is nothing you can ever do that will make him say, I don't love you anymore. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you that sometimes in life, like in the case of this leper, life left him untouchable. But what everybody else is afraid to touch, Jesus is able to touch. And I want you to get ready for the miraculous touch of Jesus in your life today. Hallelujah. The second thing that we can learn from this leper is that he did not allow his condition to keep him from Jesus. He did not allow his condition to keep him from Jesus. And the Bible says, behold, a leper came. He came. He went to where Jesus was. And I wanted to dwell on those words. A leper came. And I love those words. He knew the rules. He knew that he was not supposed to mingle with people, because there was a danger that he was going to infect them. He knew the barriers. He knew what people would say. But he also knew that Jesus was worth pursuing. And so he defied the odds and he came looking for Jesus. May I say something to you, my friend? Never let something that you are going through, a problem, a difficulty, a situation, drive you away from God. Make you stay away from God. It is one of the gravest mistakes that you can ever make in life. To get to a place where you tell yourself that, I can't get close to God. I can't approach Jesus anymore. And you see, the reason why sometimes our problems are not solved and things do not get better in our lives is because we stay away from the one who has the power to arrest the situation and turn things around for us. Sometimes it's like, I've messed up too much. I can't go to Jesus no more. I'm too sick. I'm too dirty. People won't accept me. I have tried everything I can. This leper could have come up with all those excuses. And it was a dangerous thing, because he stood in danger of being stoned. Because if you are caught in that situation, I don't know how he managed to maneuver, but it's such a contagious disease that you'll be seen as a threat and you can easily be accused of intentionally coming around so that you can infect others. And must know that in that society, there was always instant justice. There are a lot of things that you don't mess around with. He could have stayed away and he could have told himself that, I have a lot of reasons why I cannot get close to Jesus. But this leper, he came. And sometimes the greatest miracle begins when you make the decision, I am coming to Jesus anyway. So you may be coming with tears in your eyes, but still come. You may be coming with pain in your heart, a broken heart, but still come. You may be coming with a painful past, but still come. You may feel unworthy, but still come. You may have failed again and again, but still come. You may not understand everything about God and what is happening in your life, but still come. And this leper, he came to Jesus, and he came as he was. And I'm telling you that however you are, whatever is going on in your life, whatever mess, whatever difficulty, whatever complication, can you please come to Jesus just as you are? Because one thing I can tell you about him, he will never turn you away. People will reject you. People will ridicule you. People will laugh at you. People will scorn you. People will cast all kinds of insinuations. But not so with my Jesus. And I'm saying to you, come as you are. Because his arms are wide open to receive you, however you are, whatever the problem is, and whatever the situation is. And I've come to realize that one of the things that the devil tries to do in our lives is to convince us that we need to fix ourselves before we go to God. That I need to solve this problem. I need to become better. I need to straighten things in my life before I go to Jesus. That is one of the greatest deceptions of the devil. And that is the reason why sometimes people stay away from God. Have you ever invited somebody to church before and the person gives you all kinds of excuses? It's like, Sally, I smoke too much. I drink too much. My life is too messed up. Help, I want to straighten things up a bit before I come. Yeah. So by the end of the year, I'd have sorted out all my issues. Then I will come. It is as ridiculous as saying that get well before you go to the hospital. That's how ridiculous it is. Nobody does that. Nobody says that. Why do you go to the hospital? Because you are sick. And you go there because you know that what you are going through and what you are experiencing, it is at the hospital that you will find your solution. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So this is what Jesus is saying to somebody today. Yes, I know that your life is messed up. Yes, I know that your life is a very complicated life. Yes, I know that you are battling with things. Yes, I know that you made a lot of terrible mistakes. But come, 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 come. Just come as you are. Come to me, says the Lord to somebody today, and I'll begin to work on you. And you'll receive my miraculous touch that will turn things around for you. Hallelujah. And the third thing about this guy is that he came worshiping. The Bible says, and behold, a leper came. And what did he do? What did he do? Worshipped him. And this is very powerful. What it means, ladies and gentlemen, is that he managed for a moment to take his eyes, his focus off his problem, and directed his energies and his attention to the Lord. So yes, he was a leper. Yes, he was an outcast. Yes, he had a complex problem. Yes, he had something that defied solution. But when he came to Jesus, he was able to take his eyes off his problem, his difficulty, his battles, and focused on Jesus. And he worshipped him. Because when you worship the Lord, your focus is on him. So you are not focusing on the bigness of your problem. You are focusing on the bigness of the God whom you have come to. Hallelujah. Too often, we get obsessed with our challenges and with our problems, what we are going through. And they consume our thoughts. They fill our minds. We cannot sleep. Every time we are thinking, calculating, trying to find a way out of things. And it's like the enormity of what you are dealing with is weighing you down. But I want you to learn from this leper. It was a difficult situation. But he turned his eyes off the problem. And he focused on Jesus. Can you do that also, my friend? Because you are too absorbed in the problem. So you cannot function anymore. All you can think about is the marriage and the things that are not working. All your mind is on is your husband, what he's doing, what he's not doing. When you wake up, all you're thinking about is that problem, that situation, that sickness. But take a cue from this leper. He took his eyes off the problem and he focused it on the Lord. Do you remember that account of when Peter walked on the water? He was in the boat with the other disciples. Jesus was not with them, but in the middle of the night, they saw somebody coming to them, walking on the face of the water. And they started screaming, "Aje yewo, aje yewo, aje yewo, yehu samayo, yesha samayo, obimba jiyo, obimba jiyo." Then they looked and they said, "Ah, it's him. It's Jesus." I said, "Ah, it's not possible. This is not a road he's walking on. He's walking on the water." And then Peter, as usual, impulsive. He said, "Jesus." Jesus said, "Yes." He said, "Is it you?" He said, "Of course it is me. Who less?" They said, "If it is indeed you, ask me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." I can imagine when Peter was getting out, the people said, "Hey, panono fio, olulo. Nipa no ose brano, oyanyami. Wo, wo chenam. Enti wo kwahin. Peter, Peter, ube kunye yo, Peter. Sa utu noni, tina hao men ko." Peter said, "I was going." He stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. Now I can imagine the people giving him fans. "Piero, Piero, 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 Piero." And Peter to be too no no yinachia. And then the Bible says he saw the waves. And then one of the things that intrigues me is that he saw the wind. Have you seen wind before? And then he started sinking. Then he had sense enough to cry out, "Jesus, help me, help me." And Jesus held him. But I don't think that Jesus carried him. He walked with him back into the boat. But here's the thing. He started to sink because he took his eyes off the Savior. The one who was upholding him. The one who was giving him the ability to walk on the water. That is when he started to sink. And I want to say to you that, can you please, in this time and in this season of your life, can you just take your eyes off the problem? You are too obsessed with it. It's weighing you down. You are not normal again. It shows on your face, in your body, your demeanor. You are carrying too much. And this leper, when he came to Jesus, he worshipped him. So, can you turn all your lamentations into worship for me? Can you do that? Because every day you are lamenting. And it looks like you've written another book of lamentations which hasn't yet been added to the Bible. The lamentations are too many. The cryings, the weeping, the complaints. Can you stop that for a while? And then this time just decide that you're going to worship him. Focusing on your God. Focusing on the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. Can you take your eyes off the problem, out of the joblessness, out of the financial situation, away from the sickness, away from the family problem? Can you just direct your focus on the Lord and just worship him? A couple of days ago, I was talking to a wife who called me from a faraway place. It was somebody I used to pastor many years ago. She's going through a serious marital crisis and her husband has threatened to divorce her. And the whole story, very complex, very complicated. She told me that I've stopped praying. I can't pray anymore. And I'm asking myself that, God, where are you there? What are you doing about this situation? I can't pray anymore. And this is what I told her. I told her that I want you to do this for me. Just take your mind off the problem as much as you can. And just fix your gaze on the Lord and worship Him. That anytime you feel things are getting overwhelming for you, just worship the Lord. I encourage that. Surround yourself with worship songs, praise songs. Create an environment and an atmosphere of praise and worship around you. And that thing will do something for you. Can I have an amen? So you've dwelt too long on the issue. It's time to shift focus from the problem, from the bigness of the problem, to the bigness of the God that you serve. You know, sometimes the way we go about our challenges in life, and the way we magnify what the devil seems to be doing in our lives, it's as though the devil is almighty and God is some pitiful God who cannot change anything, that we are at the mercy of the devil. And so every time, and look at us, the prayers we pray, most of the prayers that we pray, the focus is on the devil and what he's doing in your life. Can you begin to pray now and acknowledge God, the greatness of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the beauty of God? Can you focus rather on that and watch and see the mighty hand of God and what it will do in your life? Hallelujah. And last but one, he had faith in the power of Jesus. He had faith in the power of Jesus. This leper had faith in the power of Jesus. So when he came to Jesus, he said to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can. Somebody say, you can. Say it again, you can. That means that he had no question, he had no doubt at all about the ability of Jesus and the power of Jesus to deal with that problem that he was contending with. He had faith in the power of Jesus. So he did not say, Lord, I don't know whether you can. I don't know whether you can. He said, you can. You can. Yes, you can. That's what he said. Yes, you can. Jesus, I know you can. If he had any question at all, it was a question of, will he? So that's why the first part of it is, Lord, if you are willing. So if he had any doubts at all, it was more to do with whether Jesus was willing to do something about it. But as for whether Jesus could do something about the thing, he had no doubt at all, and he had faith in him. Sometimes when you come to God, you know, the issue is not whether God can, but you're asking yourself, will he? You can look at what God is doing in somebody else's life, and you can feel that God is just interested in doing things for that person, but is not willing to do anything for me. But I like the answer that Jesus gave to the guy. He said, I am willing. And what he said to the leper this morning, he's saying to you also, that he's willing. Hallelujah. Lift up your hand and say, Jesus is willing. And yes, he can. Say it again. Jesus is willing. And yes, he can. And he will do it for you. Hallelujah. Clap your hands again and bless the Lord. And the last thing we learned from this leper as we round up today's service is that Jesus did, not from the leper, but from that story, is that Jesus did something that nobody else was willing to do. Jesus did something that nobody else was willing to do. Look at verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand, and what did he do? He touched him. Last Sunday, we had a visiting preacher who shared with us about who touched me. And today, I'm talking to you about the miraculous touch of Jesus. And when Jesus encountered this outcast, this leper, who had a contagious, highly infectious disease that everybody had rejected, he touched him. He touched him. There's a song we sing. Shackled by a heavy burden, need a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And this you may know, He touched me. He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched him. Jesus did something that nobody else was willing to do. And I think that this is one of the most beautiful moments in the story. You know that Jesus could have healed him without touching him. He could just have spoken the word. Because in another story that had to do with lepers, He didn't touch them. There were 10 of them. He just spoke to them and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He could have done the same thing with this guy, but He touched him. He reached out His hand and touched him. He had a bad problem, but He touched him. He had something terrible that could have infected him also, but He touched him. The question is why? Because everybody else was keeping away from the guy. But Jesus decided to move towards him. So everybody else saw a leper, but Jesus saw a person. Everybody else saw a problem, but Jesus saw somebody who needed love. Everybody else saw uncleanness, but Jesus saw somebody who could be restored. And what did He do? He touched him. I want you to imagine, perhaps for many years, nobody had ever come close to this guy. Nobody had ever touched him. Nobody had ever shaken his hand. Nobody had ever embraced him. He probably couldn't remember the last time he felt a touch. Somebody put an arm around him and said to him, "You are still valuable." But suddenly, the hand of Jesus reached out and touched him. The hand that created the universe touched him. The hand that calmed the troubled seas touched him. The hand that healed the sick touched him. And the hand that was going to be pierced with nails touched him. And today I want you to understand that Jesus is ready to touch you. Others may have turned away from you. Others may have rejected you. Look, there is nothing bad about you that can infect Jesus. He cannot be contaminated by your brokenness. He transforms brokenness. He cannot be made dirty because He touched you. He brings cleansing into our mess. He cannot become hopeless because He touched your hopelessness. He brings hope into our hopelessness. He cannot be defeated because He touched your defeat. He brings victory into your defeat. There is nothing about your life that He cannot handle. There is no mountain too tall that He cannot move in. There's no problem too big that He cannot solve. There's no storm too dark in your life that it cannot calm. And there's no sorrow too deep that it cannot soothe it. And today I want you to understand that what he did for this leper, he is willing to do for you also. He is willing to touch you where you need it the most. And it's not an ordinary touch. It is the miraculous touch of Jesus. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what he did for this guy thousands of years ago, he's willing to do for you. But like this guy, you got to come. You got to take your eyes off your problem and focus it on the Lord. You got to worship him. And you got to have faith that he's able to change things for the better for you. Today, I recommend Jesus to you. And perhaps the greatest miracle you can receive is the miracle of salvation. And today, Jesus is able to touch you and change your situation and change your destiny from somebody who is hell-bound to somebody who will have an inheritance with the saints of God in that new Jerusalem in the by and by. I present Jesus to you today, the one whose miraculous touch can arrest even the most dire of situations in our lives. He loves you and he wants to make a difference in your life, but you got to come to him. And it starts with you receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I present Jesus to you, my friend. You've tried to fix things by yourself. I think you can see, and you should have seen by now, that it's not working. It's not working. Can't you see that it is not working? Can't you? What haven't you tried? Everybody has disappointed you. You've tried to fix things by yourself. It just didn't work. And it's even getting worse. And there are problems like that. The more you try to fix it, it just becomes worse. What you need is the miraculous touch of Jesus. And it starts with you receiving him as your Lord and Savior. And you too, once you receive that miraculous touch, you'll be able to say, he touched me. Rise to your feet. He touched me, oh yeah. And oh, that joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Lift your hands to the Lord and sing it one more time. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, and God, that storm that floods my soul, oh, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made. In fact, you can put your hand down, every head bowed and every eye closed. Somebody invited you to church today, and I want you to understand that you are not here by accident. That God actually orchestrated things so that you would be here. There's somebody you did not even want to come, but you were pressurized. And it was impressed on you that you must come. And you came. And the reason is because Jesus wants to touch you with his miraculous touch. There is no touch like his. There is no touch that can change the very course of a person's life except the touch of Jesus. There is no touch that can change your eternal destination except the touch of Jesus. There is no touch that can bring hope and purpose to a person's life than the touch of Jesus. And today, you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's been knocking at the door to your heart for some time. And today is the day when you must open the door. You must let the door to your heart be opened unto Jesus so that he can come in and make your life brand new. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, perhaps you are even watching me. You are part of this live stream, or you stumbled across the video later on. But you know that you need Jesus in your life. You know exactly what you are dealing with. You know what you are contending with in your life. You need this Jesus, my friend, you do. And this morning, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up very clearly. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't think about what somebody is thinking. It's between you and your God. Lift that hand up very clearly. God bless you. Listen, Jesus came all the way from heaven because of you and I. Lifting up your hand cannot be too much of a problem, can it? God bless you. I see your hands lifted. Now, if your hand is lifted, I want you to do one more thing for me. Don't be shy. But I want you to move from your seat where you are and come and meet me in front. Come to me. If your hand is raised, come right now. Dibodi and friend, come. Come right now. Come to me right now. If you lifted your hand, come right now. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. Oh, and all the joy that floods my soul. Oh yes, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. God bless you, my friends. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I want the congregation to join in the prayer as well. Would you say with me and pray this prayer from your heart and have faith in Jesus? Close your eyes and say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, I am sorry for all my sins. Please forgive me. Please wash me with your precious blood. From today, I will serve you. I will live for you. I am yours and you are mine. Please write my name in the book of life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make my life brand new. And Jesus, let me receive your miraculous touch in every area of my life. Where there is a problem, where there's a challenge, where there's a difficulty. Thank you, Jesus, that as I have come to you, you will not cast me away. I thank you, Father. Today, I am saved. I am saved. I am a child of God. I am born again. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for my three friends standing here. There's a reason why they found themselves here this morning. It is not by accident. It is not by chance. I pray for them, Father, that you will help them. You are the one who knows everything that is going on in their lives. You know of their problems. You know of the mess that they are in. You know of how they are trying to make life better for themselves, but it's simply not working. One thing I know is that when you appear in a situation, things begin to turn around for the better. Calm every storm of their lives. Bring them out of every impossible situation and show them your glory and your power. Let them be able to stand and testify not many days hence that I have received the miraculous touch of Jesus in my life. This week, Father, give them a sign to let them know that you are actually watching out for them, and that now, from this moment, they are your children. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.